Hello all, and welcome to Peanut Pie. Hello all, and welcome back to Pie of the Peanuts. My name is Henry, and today we're going to be discussing the second episode of Loki. Have a good time. The door is closing. And here to discuss it with me is... Will! Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am also doing very great. Today is Father's Day, the day we're recording this. So if you're a father, happy Father's Day. Scott, you're not on today's podcast, but happy Father's Day to you. You're probably not listening, but you want to know what? Happy Father's Day.
And to all the kids listening, tell your parents, your father, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, because... You know,
well, wait, will this be released tomorrow?
This will be released tomorrow, so...
Oh, then never mind.
Just tell him, hey, I'm sorry I'm late, but happy Father's Day. Unless you already told him yesterday, in which case, good job. You're being, you know, right on time. I was going to say proactive, but not really, because that's just doing it the right time.
Yeah. All right. Loki anyway, time? I think it's Loki time.
Okay. Incredible episode.
Incredible episode.
Better than the first. Without a doubt.
Sure. I didn't really... I don't know. I didn't rank them.
Yeah, but the first did a really good job establishing everything. The second really just was punch after punch. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was. It did keep it going. It kept the story moving along quite nicely. So,
and
yeah, I do think.
I am a little sad, Will. Because unless Loki somehow changes genders, your theory from last episode was confirmed to not be true.
Yeah, I suspected that. There was already a lot of rumors about female Loki, so right. I wasn't really putting a lot of money on my theory. Which
a lot of eggs in the basket.
If you missed it, it was about Loki realizing that he had to do all the bad things just so he could be noticed by the TVA in the first place. So I thought
the same Loki.
So I thought that Loki, that they're the one they're trying to chase, was just him, but from the future. Anyway. That obviously
But in the same timeline.
But obviously that wasn't true. And so now we have female Loki, but I'm super pumped about that as well. I think it'll make for some interesting content.
It will be very fun. So let's go ahead and see. Recap of the episode. Loki's imprisoned and stuff. And then Lady Loki keeps on stealing these mysterious time bombs and putting them in different, not putting them in different places. And Loki figures out that Lady Loki, or what he just thinks is another version of himself, is hiding out in different apocalypses. Because the way apocalypses works, you know, no matter what you do, everything's going to get destroyed. Everyone's probably going to die. Like, so it doesn't matter what you do, that same thing's going to happen. So you can just hide out during apocalypses. So then Loki tests that theory during Pompeii, and they go to this apocalypse that's going to be in like 2040 or 2050, I believe. And Lady Loki is there, and she keeps on changing bodies until she eventually goes into the Lady Loki body while fighting Loki. The TVA is trying to keep everything under control. Everything's weird and wacky. And then she bombs the entire sacred timeline.
Yeah. That's basically it. So,
yeah, just bombing the sacred timeline.
Yeah, so she gets Lady Loki, goes through and takes all these reset charges that the timekeepers have been putting everywhere.
Right, that the timekeepers have been using to knock off branch timelines.
Yeah, so like if you use one of these things, a branch timeline basically gets erased.
Right.
But we don't know the effect of them on the sacred timeline.
Yeah, I was a little confused. Like, I guess so you need more bombs because it's a much more solidified timeline than like a branch timeline that's just forming. You could just wipe it out with one bomb, but you needed all of those bombs to really like make an effect on the sacred timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that sounds about right. And yeah, it looked like it didn't really from the very ending of the episode. At least it looked like all these. time bombs. I think we're going to have to come up with a better word because you have time bombs And then you have things that bomb time.
Which are also... Oh, no. I think they're just called reset charges.
Reset charges.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them bomb times.
Okay. Let's call them bomb times. Let's give things some nicknames on this podcast.
Yeah.
Also, if you're unfamiliar, the title of today's episode, TVST. TVST stands for TV Show Talk. I feel like we should mention that every now and then. Because I don't say that very often.
Oh, or maybe time bombers. How about that?
Time bombers? That sounds like a person who's bombing time.
But you can't just say a time bomb. Because what I think of is like a little...
Well, they gave you a name for it. It's called a reset charge. If you're going to nickname it, that's fine.
I know, but reset charge is just
boring. Listen, I will go with you on bomb time.
Like everything else in the TVA, reset charge is just a boring name.
What are you talking about? The pruners?
Like, look, I'm
the
sorry.
The pruning sticks?
Like, it's part of the show. Like, it makes it good. But the TVA is, like, the most boring bureaucratic place ever. Like,
but it looks really cool.
It has a cool aesthetic. I'd probably appreciate the look of it for, like, a week. And then I'd probably hate
if
it.
If you were working there?
But anyway,
yeah.
I think...
It's so sad. The
it does
TVA
fit into, it fits into the theories that we have to... That
right.
we have to make true. And I really liked, should we talk about that yet, or should we keep talking about Loki?
I want to, wait, we'll...
Talk about Loki, but should we talk about our theories that we need to...
Oh, we'll talk about that in just a second, okay. But one thing, so I'm sure the TVA is the villain now. I'm pretty sure Lady Loki is going to be working with Loki.
Really?
Yeah. I think they might be both extreme sides, like, kind of like... John Walker and like the what was the terrorist group in the Flag Smashers?
Yeah,
it's gonna be like two opposite ends, like they've been doing in these shows. It'll be like TVA and Lady Loki, and Loki will fall somewhere in between, but probably closer to Lady Loki, because like, say you're just living your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say you live in Manhattan. That's a place that exists. You're just, you know, getting a cup of Joe. You're just walking around having a good time. And then somebody in, you know, India accidentally drops their muffin.
Okay.
Because they had a muffin.
Okay.
But they weren't supposed to drop that muffin.
Okay.
You get erased. The entire timeline gets erased. And there's still another one of you. You're still somewhere. But you still get killed. You still die. You, in that moment, a person gets killed. Like, whether or not it's a clone, it's still a person. Which, like, do you see what I mean there? Like, they're not making it that spelled out, but, like, they're destroying entire timelines. Forget, you know, that it's just one planet and one person. It's an entire planet of people. But on top of that, we know that, you know, in all of space has people in the MCU. So they're wiping out literally everyone, and they have the power to do that with a little reset charge, which I think is insane. But it is a not solidified timeline, so.
No, I think there was a part there where they said what they do is they catch the timelines early enough so that they only affect, like, kind of what's around them, and they go off on a different timeline path. So they only have to reset the area to which the extent the branch timeline has reached. So let's say someone does drop their muffin and it gets on a waiter's shoes, and the waiter has to go home and change shoes, and he doesn't make it to another job interview. And let's say it affects all of India, all of that town or all
right,
of India.
Right, and if he had gone to the job interview, he would have gotten the job and then made friends with all of these people.
Yeah, but they get there as early as they can, as soon as the branch comes up. So they only have to reset the certain area. So they'd only have to reset like India or whatever. So when you're saying they're resetting the whole universe, like they don't have to, because what happened there hadn't had any effect yet, at least on distant planets.
So I didn't pick up on that, but like, they very well could have said that. I shouldn't pick up on it. But if they're just resetting, say, you know, only all of India and all the people inside of
it,
killing all of them, if they're only doing that,
I don't think it's that. I don't think they're killing all of them.
But it sounds a lot like what they're doing. Like when Owen Wilson has that moment with that kid in the first episode.
Yeah.
Like, he immediately walks out. That kid is dead. That kid is still there somewhere else. But that kid got killed.
I don't think of it like that. I think the sacred timeline. Because, I mean, what else would you have a multiverse of chaos? I think it's just their job. And he's not getting killed. He's just...
No, they wouldn't have a multiverse of chaos. They'd kill, like, literally everything that's not the way it's supposed to
be. No, I'm saying, and yeah, if they didn't do that, there'd be a multiverse of chaos.
But they're killing all of the universes. Like, they're preventing war by literally destroying everything. Like, that's very
okay.
Horrible.
You can view it as destroying, but destroying is a three-dimensional thing, and this is a four-dimensional establishment because it's time. So I don't think it's the same as destroying at all. But we can agree to disagree on that okay. And keep going.
Mm-hmm. All right. But, like, they're just taking free choice completely out of the, like, factor. Like, with a multiverse, there's not guaranteed
war. Now that...
There was a war. There was a multiversal war. But I doubt it wiped out all, like, of the amount of life. You know what I mean?
Now, that is
a... The TVA has wiped out. Like, I don't even know that there would be a multiversal war. I know there is because of Mom, Multiverse of Madness, but, like...
Okay, so you said something there that I think is a good thing to discuss, and that's that they're taking free will out of the equation, and I think that's, like, the main thing.
Well, I think you still have free will, but... You know, since you're the exact same person, raised the exact same way, had all the exact same experience, you make the exact same decision. So you still have free will, but, like, you know, you only are making that same choice every time because that's just, like, the choice you made that one time. You know?
No, I don't just, really
like,
know.
Like, who you are.
I don't... maybe, but I still think... I still think it's a limiter on free will. I think they've limited it very much.
Right.
And yeah, you could say
okay,
like
but...
they did limit it, but it is what they would have picked anyway if they had had free will. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
say like me or you right now, you know, we're choosing to do everything that we're doing at any point in time. And that's how the people in the sacred timeline feel, too. Like, we don't have a TVA forcing us to do stuff, but they have the same, like, ability to do whatever they want as us in that timeline, unless there's, like... Do you kind of see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, but I kind of have to disagree with you. I think we've reached a point where it's gone too existential. Now,
yeah,
because, like, this is a topic that philosophers, you know, still don't know the answer to, so I don't think we're going to find
well,
any
right.
solidarity there. But, yeah, I do think it's interesting how they kind of have one flow of time and how that can't be changed.
Well, are you ready for the theory segment of this episode?
I'm ready for the theory segment of this
so
episode.
So, what we started last episode with Loki
yeah.
is every... episode of Loki, we're gonna give each other a theory. We're just gonna give them a base theory. Maybe Loki is Mephisto. Or the TVA exists inside the quantum realm. Just something
or Loki,
weird and quick.
Or Loki is Kit Fisto.
Right, obviously. And those were the two examples, not the Kit Fisto one, that we had in the last episode. And then the next episode, which is this one, we have to give the other person our theory that they gave us. So Will told me Loki is Mephisto. I told Will the TVA exists inside the quantum realm. Now I have to give the full theory on how Loki is Mephisto, and he has to give the full theory on how TVA is inside the quantum realm. Not a full theory, but give some evidence or some supporting stuff.
So I like this segment. I think we should keep it.
I think we should.
But I think... What should we call it? Should we call it, like, the exact opposite of the scientific method? Since we're coming up with a conclusion.
A conclusion, yes!
And then, like, backtracking. And
let's just call it the unscientific method.
Only finding work that supports... Or should we call it modern media? since that's also what happens. They just like, you know, find a side and
I'd be good with the unscientific method. That sounds really fun.
The unscientific method? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Welcome to the unscientific method. Ooh, this is so exciting. Oh, all right. I'm hyped.
Okay. So, Henry. Okay. In the new segment, the unscientific method.
Let's go.
How does the TV show Loki support the theory that Loki is Mephisto?
So this is interesting. I've got three main things that I'd like to bring up here. The first was the reason for this theory. That little girl, when talking to Owen Wilson's character Mobius, was talking to him, and Mobius was like, what happened? Who did this bad thing? And she pointed a picture of the devil, or some horned, you know, red figure who is definitely representing the devil, or in Marvel's case, Mephisto, because that is the Marvel Universe's devil. Which is weird, because, you know, I guess Loki also has horns, but... Oh yeah, Loki also has horns. So maybe she was just trying to say, oh yeah, it was a figure with horns. But it was the devil, and it was Lady Loki. So that's just the first, you know, thing that you gave to me. But then from this new episode, I drew something else. See, the reason Loki tells us that Lady Loki would be hiding out in apocalypses is because of no time energy. But Lady Loki has proven time and time again that doesn't matter. She can hide out wherever she wants. She can whoop the TVA's butt. And the reason why she's going to these different apocalypses and Loki is going to these different apocalypses... Apocalypses are times of grand, like, on a humongous level, death and destruction. And everything that makes Mephisto happy and excited, and he gets some new customers. Uh-huh. And Mephisto, not to make, you know, death a light thing, but... So Lady Loki is going through all these apocalypses just to... Witness the souls.
Yeah, just to, like, gather up as many as she can.
But then I've got one more piece of evidence for you.
Oh, no.
This is not a huge thing at all. But I had a theory, if you remember back to the WandaVision days, that Evan Peters Quicksilver, who was showing up in WandaVision, was actually Loki. Because he had, like, the exact same personality. He was a trickster. We knew he was going to be messing around with the TVA and WandaVision's doing multiverse time stuff, going back through eras. Which I think we could still see in this show. But there was also a huge theory that was combating mine that Evans Peters Quicksilver was Mephisto. To which I say, why can't it be both? So I'm thinking all the evidence from these two theories combined support that Loki is Mephisto. So that is what I did with your theory you gave me. But what about you? How does the TVA exist within the quantum realm?
Well, that's a very good question, Henry, and I'm happy to tell you how it
fits.
It does. There's some broader evidence, but then there's a very peculiar piece of evidence, which I think really, you know, makes this theory undeniable. So the broader evidence is that, the quantum realm is what is used in Endgame to travel through space and time.
Right.
And, you know, what is the mission of the time, or what can the timekeepers do? They can go to anywhere in space or time. So if they exist in the quantum realm, they have all that mobility. They also exist outside of time. And we've seen that is what happens when you enter the quantum realm, especially from Ant-Man and the Wasp, when you go into the quantum realm, you exist kind of outside of time itself. And even further than that, you don't age.
Okay.
So Hank Pym's wife, right? She did technically age while she was in the quantum realm, but she said it felt like millions and millions and millions of years. Is that correct?
Right, a lot longer.
Yeah,
she's... And, yeah, it... could have been a lot longer.
Yeah, and it could have been even longer than that, which explains how, you know, all of these agents of time, like Mobius and Mobius, they don't age. They just kind of exist there forever because they're in the quantum realm.
Right.
Furthermore, I'm telling you, like, I really do think it exists inside the quantum realm. The orange charges that they use to reset time, orange appears a lot in, like, well, first off, in the little portal that Ant-Man and the Wasp used to get into the quantum realm, you know, like, what's it called?
Yeah.
That little thing that was
the van?
Yeah, like, the thing in the back of the van. I forget what it's called, but, like, it lights up orange when it's about to zap you into the quantum realm. And also, I mean, there was lots of colors in the quantum realm from Ant-Man and the Wasp, but orange was definitely prevalent there. Even though, you know, you could make that case for lots of colors. So that's just kind of the surface evidence of how the TVA fits into the quantum realm. And it makes a lot of sense. But then it all clicked. What does Hank Pym use, the person that helped discover the quantum realm, to shrink down matter? His particle, his special particle, it's called the Pym particle. Okay, so we know this particle has to do with, like, the quantum realm and stuff like that. Pym.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. What does Pym stand for? P-Y-M. So let's say you said, "Hey Loki, Pym." It would stand for, "Hey Loki." The P would stand for "please find." The Y would stand for "your." And the M would stand for "mirror copy." Pym, please find your mirror copy. And that's Loki's mission in the TVA, to find his mirror copy. Therefore, Pym. And that is why the TVA exists inside the quantum realm.
So I was thinking more of a, approach, you know, that there's a city inside of the quantum realm. I guess it's just more evidence right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was that totally.
Yeah, and that confirms it, basically.
I think you beat me.
Like, Pym is a secret message.
Right.
Telling the TVA to use Loki to find his mirror self.
Right, and they obviously wouldn't have used Pufma, you know. Yeah, they wouldn't have used.
Oh, they wouldn't have used all the letters?
Pufma Yamaka, because that just wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, so they just picked certain parts of it.
They had to
please find your mirror self.
Puff Mumka.
Pym.
Right.
So yeah, that is exactly why the Time Variance Authority exists inside the quantum realm.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. There's our new segment called the Unscientific Method.
And I have something to give to you for your next unscientific method.
Oh, yes, we have to think about that. All right, what is the next theory that I have to justify?
Owen Wilson's character, Mobius M. Mobius, yes, is a Loki variant.
Mobius M. Mobius is a Loki variant.
And that is the theory you will be pitching next Monday to me.
Okay.
Should I quickly give it a pause so you can think of mine?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, what is my theory that I will have to prove next time? I'm a little concerned after that last thing, but...
You have to prove.
Okay, unscientific method. I have to prove that.
Lady Loki.
Lady Loki.
Is Ultron. And you have to convince me that Lady Loki is in fact Ultron.
Okay. We're doing this. Okay.
All right. Is that all we have?
Yeah. Also, well, we can skip to the outro in just a second. But we didn't have an In the Heights review last Thursday. Things got busy and stuff. We will try and have a Luca review this Thursday with Scott, and we'll probably talk about In the Heights later on. Lady Loki is Ultron. Lady Loki is Ultron. Time for the outro.
We could do a combo review for Luca.
And Luca and In the Heights.
In the Heights. In the Luca.
In the Luca.
Luca the Heights.
Luca the Heights. No, it could just be this Thursday's episode. Be like 15 minutes of that. 15 minutes of Luca and 15 minutes of In the Heights.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be nice. That'd be fun. Anyways, outro time. As I always say, going into the outro is a very awkward moment. Because it's like, okay? Because the minute we start giving announcements and stuff, it's like, well, it should be in the outro. But then also not, because it has to do with the things before. Charlie, what do you have to say to the podcast? Thank you very much. Will, what do you have to say to the podcast?
Meow.
You can send us an email at thepeanutpieguy@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. It really does mean the world. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and if you do, we'll send you a Funko Pop of Moonwind from Seoul right to your front door. You can send us an email to thepeanutpieguy@gmail.com. I've already said that. Why am I repeating myself? That's a good question. Anchor added a new feature with, like, Spotify Green Room that I might try out that looks pretty cool, where you can, like, live stream stuff. I haven't decided everything yet, though, so yeah, that'll be fun.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
Live streaming sounds dangerous. Are we ready for that?
We're ready, Will. We're ready. Thank you, and goodbye.